The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. It's Dr. Dave's. Oh, I said doctor again, didn't I? Oh, I guess that's right. Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but the Bible teaches there's a time to laugh. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Good. That's our answer. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use. Probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force her to think, why does this guy have a radio show? I don't know. I have no idea. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk love with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy right there. And you should know it's Thursday. And you know, on Thursday, I'm asking the same question every week. I'm not going to stop asking it because it's a requirement for all of us to respond. Are we expecting more in 2024? Are you expecting a poke in the eye with a sharp stick, or are you expecting the graciousness of God to manifest in your life in areas that you need help in? Which one are you looking for? Which one are you having faith in? The gracious and generosity of our King who rules the universe and gave his very own son, a part of his very self, for us? Or for him who holds tightly everything in the palm of his hand and says, try and take it out. Which one do you have faith for? That's what we're asking. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. We seriously consider that to be sad. All we want you to do is reach out and give us a call. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like spending time relaxing and chillaxing.
Thank you, David. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. I will tell you right now, it is not often in these last week or 2 weeks that I've been relaxing and chillaxing myself. So looking forward to getting through the process of moving. Those of you that are praying for us, please do so, as my wife and I are in the throes of a move. Wow. In the meantime, here's the other thing. If you can call us, call us. If you want to text us, you can do that too. 214-210-8483. Let me make sure you get that. 214-210-8483. Now we'll do it slower. We're not going to use NPR because they're not doing too well, but let's do something that sounds like them. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me do something else. Here we go. 214-210-8483. There you go. You can text us. You can call us. You can also send us an email, david@hemustincrease.org, D-A-V-I-D, because that's how you spell David, @hemustincrease.org. So if you're in San Diego right now where it's 11:36, if you're in Denver where it's 12:36, Dallas where it's 1:36, Detroit where it's 2:36, you can either call us 972-445-0770. You can text us 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Somebody is on the line. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. Good afternoon, Sergio.
Hello, Sergio, my good brother. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing really good. We're in the middle of a move.
No, I heard that.
Yeah, and that's the, you know, that's the challenge. We've got a lot of stuff done really fast, which is a lot of grace. But it's a move. So it's like, let's be honest, it's like, right? So we're just praying that the Lord will get us through. That's all we're trying to do. Get through it and be in one piece. That's our goal.
I hear you.
What can I help you with, my brother?
Well, hey, David, well, I think you've been on this journey with me. I think I've told you a couple of times about where I'm at in my Bible reading. And it's not so much a question, or it's much more like an observation. So I'm in Exodus right now, still in Exodus,
uh-huh.
And in the book of Exodus. And so I told you I finished reading the New Testament. And in the New Testament, this Christ's quotes are in red, right, in the majority of Bibles, at least in mine.
Yes, correct.
And so in Exodus, I am still like my jaw is dropped because I'm reading quotes from the Father.
Correct.
From where it says the Lord told Moses, or the Lord said this to Moses, etc. Why is it, and I don't know, you're 40 plus years in following Christ, how come the Lord's quotes weren't like in blue or like in red or another hue of red? Because I find myself underlining in a ballpoint pen, red, because I want to distinguish those were actually quotes from the Father. And so just want to get your take on that. Enjoy the beautiful weather outside. I love everything you do, and you're in my prayers. Thanks.
I appreciate that, brother. Thank you very much. So this goes to the heart of one of my favorite topics, which is bibliology. So you can hang on or you can hang out. It's up to you, brother. It's entirely up to you. So by the way, Sergio, if you want a book on grace, period, from Pastor Morris, call back and get that, unless he's already got it. Did he get it already?
No, but he hung up, so.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, he can call back. If you want to call back and get that book, don't hesitate. So
yep, for
there's,
sure.
There's a lot for people to understand. Let's understand the first and foremost, and we're not going to – I'm not prepared to get into the whole element, but I want to give you a kind of a frontal on this. Bibliology is the study of the Bible, okay? Anytime you hear an ology, it's a study, right? Pneumatology, it's the study of the Holy Spirit, right? Hamartiology, that's the Greek word for sin, right? The Bible, bibliology, okay? It's the study of the Bible, all right? And some people say it's the study of the books. It's the study of the Bible, so everybody borrowed it from that. That's fine. So when the Bible was written in the Old and New Testament, everybody should understand, there were no chapters or verses, okay? And in the Greek, specifically, a very advanced language, there is absolutely no sentence structure the way that we in America do sentence structures. Okay, so that's really important to understand that. Then, after the chapters were introduced by painstaking effort, then the verses were introduced. The problem with some of it is not that it's bad. It's been the greatest thing because it helps us get an address. But the important part about that is that they're not always done perfectly. It's not like the word itself. These are inserts at certain places, which is why in some Bibles you'll see some verses going to some places, some verses to going to other places. And no Bible interpreter, not one translation, I cannot stress this enough, not one translation is perfect in the chapter verse stripping to put on scripture. Not one, ever, okay? Because the Greek isn't written like that, and neither is the Hebrew. So it's really important to understand that. So what happened is then, what happened is that in the New Testament, because of the favor of the New Covenant, because it's Jesus, because everything in the Old Testament and the Old Covenant points to Jesus, and Jesus is the Messiah. He is God. His words are declared. That was the first effort to differentiate the words that Jesus spoke from everything else. The words that are in red are not more anointed than the words that are in black. That is a terrible, terrible theology. And anybody who's got that knows nothing. There's no less anointing in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the universe. There's no scripture in the New Testament that's more anointed than Genesis 1:1. It's just ridiculous. It's all the Word of God, and we go back to that same principle. God created the universe. The dude can write a book. Let's just keep it simple. So what then what's the deal, and why did they put the words in red? Because it highlights what Jesus had to say, which is exceedingly important. The fact the first published modern version of the words in red wasn't until about 1899. I think it was about 1901 that the whole thing became, all the words were in red, whereas earlier versions, it was just like the Sermon on the Mount in certain portions, okay? So stop thinking the words in the reds are a must. In fact, I have half my Bibles do not have the words in red. I don't care. I just read it piece by piece. Now, in the Old Testament, there are a couple of translations that actually do the words of the Father and the words of the Holy Spirit and the words of Jesus Christ, because they're all active in the Old Testament. People are just not kind of catching on to that. They have some of those Bibles that have those words in blue or in red or in green. Not as much red. I shouldn't say red. Red's for Jesus. Green and blue are the Old Testament. Sorry, my mistake. The idea is these are all study aids to help us get into the Word. These are all things that the Lord allowed people to have wisdom in to help us know where things are located and to understand them. Bibliology is, in fact, one of the coolest things you could ever get into. I mean, I'm not even kidding about that, okay? Let me explain to you that they have done statistical analysis on how 40 different authors spanning, hundreds of years from every different background can have the consistency theme, how from a prophetic point of view, Jesus fulfilling the prophecies, what were within his control and what was not within his control is in the multi-trillions to one that he could have done any of it. Anything specifically when he was dying. it's amazing. That's what bibliology is. Bibliology also studies prophecy, the prophecies that have come to pass and the prophecies that are yet to come to pass. And the most amazing element about scripture, from a declaration point of view, is not that it says it's scripture. The most amazing thing about scripture is the prophecies that have come to pass exactly every time as they have been predicted, not as people thought they would, but exactly as they were spoken in their fulfillment. In other words, the prophecy would happen and the fulfillment would take place. And then people would go, oh, I get it. Jesus said the same thing, by the way, when he said, I've told you these things so that when they come to pass, you may believe. In other words, once you see it and then you think about the prophecy, you go, oh, I get it. That's something that Jesus laid out for us early on. So the difficulty is, well, if you put the words of Jesus in red, why aren't you putting all the words of the Father in red? Well, first of all, the Old Testament is a lot bigger than the New Testament. That's number one. And that's a labor of love that very few people have tried to take on. Number two, if you want it that way, you can probably track down, and I'd have to look it up for you, Sergio, but there is certain ways to do that. But the thing that I would warn you against is thinking that those words in red are more important. They're not. It's all important. All of the Bible, all 66 books, all 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New. If you want to get into the journey, you get to find out how we came to the canon, how it came to those 66, and why other books aren't included. It's superbly fascinating. But what is amazing, and we talked about this just briefly the other day, is the partnership from God with man to write the Bible. It's just, it's lights out so cool. God testifying, I want to fellowship with you. I want to do things with you. I want partnership with you. What I don't want you to do is miss. And what you're doing now, Sergio, is you're just getting into it, making that observation, which is exactly what you should be doing. And in fact, people, when you read the Bible, it's not just, I will obey, I will obey, I will obey. When you read the Bible, and I'm telling you this from me, a passionate guy who's a Bible guy, you should ask God right when you're reading it, why did you do this? What is this? I don't understand this. How does this work? Explain this to me. Remember, the Holy Spirit is your counselor. He's your teacher. He'll lead you into all truth. You just ask God, and he'll give you those insights. It won't be perfect, and that's what teachers are for, to help you come along. But you will understand so much more if you will approach it that way. The Bible is not written so somebody can have a book and throw it at people. The Bible is written so that when you go in prayer, you know who you're talking to. You know. You know what God has to. You know what he's like. And it's not a different God from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It's a different covenant. It's a different agreement. It's a different process. Same God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So people got to throw on all those weird theologies, dump them. They're ridiculous. It's not even worth your time. And I'm not saying that to be rude. It's just silly. But when you read the Bible, it's important for you, and I do this now, and this is why all my Bibles look like color books, coloring books. I mean, all of them. Okay, well, not all of them, but 99 of them. Okay, let's just say that. Whenever the Lord speaks, I highlight that because I think it's fascinating, just like Sergio does. I think, wow, the Lord said that. Wow. How did the people respond? Wow. I mean, I think fascination is when you're reading in Judges and then they lose the Ark of the Covenant, that process takes place. And it's the Lord that tells the Philistines to be strong because they're getting afraid because Israel is bringing in the Ark of the Covenant. And it's like, be strong, Philistines, be like men. I was like, who's telling them that? God is. That's fascinating. And you get to see how in everything we go about, especially if you get into like Ecclesiastes 9:11, we think it's by chance because from our perspective, it seems that way. But you find out the underlying truth that nothing's by chance. I didn't meet Mr. Coincidence, but I met Jesus. And he is in charge of everything. And it's just like, wait, what? What do you mean he's in charge of everything? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Jesus said. He's in charge of everything. That's how you know. So, Sergio, here's my admonition and my encouragement. First of all, awesome to make observations. You should. And you should ask God about them. And if you can't, you know, if you're not getting a direct answer, study it, you know, and it's great to get counseling, great to get insight. Keep looking at it, the word, as what it is. This is not just a law book. This is God's communication to mankind so that when you pray, you can know God just a little better. And in prayer, you get to know God a little better, which is so cool, right? Continue to pursue. What you don't understand doesn't mean you're foolish or ignorant or anything like that. It could be that the Lord, and this is a fact, and people might not like it, but there are some things that are revealed as you move or progress in your faith. The Lord shows you different things as you grow and develop because you're changing. His word is alive, and it affects you differently at different periods of your life. What will be more amazing, Sergio, is after you read the Old Testament, you've read the New Testament, now you're reading the Old Testament. What will be more amazing is when you read the New Testament a second time, you will say, I didn't see half of this. Because the Lord will pull it back right in front of you. Just pull it back and you'll be like, oh, what? How did I not see this? Now, this particular area, I can do the entire show, not take a single break, and not lose one moment. Because this area of bibliology is just superbly, superbly fascinating. When you engage with the Word of God, the Word was written by mankind with the Holy Spirit. You know who else was by mankind and with the Holy Spirit? Jesus. Born of Mary, born of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, guess what? This has got a similar component in the Scripture. This is why when you read the Scripture, Here's what it says. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. That means that God breathed into it. What happened when God breathed into Adam? He became alive. In Job, it says your breath, your spirit. It says your spirit, your breath. I mean, it's connected, you see? And then the Spirit of God breathing into you, and life animates into you, spiritual life. This is what it is about being born again. You didn't have a clue before, and now you read the Bible, and you're like going, what? Look at this. Look at this. One of the people, what people miss a lot in being born again is that God takes you and plunges you into the realm of the spiritual. And now you see things you never saw before. How powerful is that? That's the testimony he left. And you think, well, why when other people, when they read it, they don't get anything. They don't see anything. They don't hear anything. Well, number one, the word of God not mixed with faith does nothing. It profits nobody. It will be used to judge tons of people. But if you don't mix the word as you're reading it with faith, you don't get it. But when you mix it with faith, God pulls the scales off of your eyes and says, look at this. And the truth penetrates into you, and your spirit that's been born again goes, whoa, look at that. And you get jazzed and excited. This is why I tell people, and people have a hard time with this, and I understand, but this is more pride than anything else for people. It's like, no, it has to be this translation. No, it has to be this translation. No, it has to be this translation. I got saved with the Good News Bible. Even I know that's not the greatest translation. It was good enough to get me saved. And don't tell me it's got to be this, this, or this. What translation you gravitate to? Great. I'm reading a completely different translation. Let's see, this is translation number, in the 40s. Let's just say it's like 40 whatever, okay? Because I've read the New Testament like 150 times, and the Old Testament maybe like closer to 30 or 40, whatever. Well, 40, okay? So let's just use that. So now I'm reading a completely different translation, and I'm getting so much more. And once I got out of the Good News, I got into the King James. Once I went through the King James, I went to the New King James, then I went to the NAS, and then I went different directions, and I started figuring out. And then what you really find out is if you read the Word of God enough and you read something and you think, well, I'm not sure about that translation, you start comparing it to other translations. And then, listen to this, and then you go, the Lord showed me this is not the best of the translations. That's the thing, the stage I'm at now, where when I read something, if I don't think it fits with the other 35, I can see it before anything happens. It's like, cool. But there's some things in some translations that just speak volumes. And I actually insert some of the, so when I pray, I use scripture. I think that's just smart. Okay. It's just me. Just put up with me. I use scripture back to the Lord. Say, well, you said this, you said this, you said this. Cause I think that's a great way to pray. Right. But what's ironic is I use multiple translations when I do it. Because I find that to be, that's how it impacted me. And what you got to do, and if you don't have it, ask God for it. I know we've gone through the whole thing. It doesn't matter. Just listen. Ask God for a passion to hear him in his word. And be real sincere about it. You don't have to spend an hour a day, but you have to commit. You have to be into it. You have to say to the Lord, get me there. Get me in this passion place. It doesn't matter if you want to do it from, point A to point Z. It doesn't matter if you want to do it in the Greek. It doesn't matter if you want to do it in the Hebrew. I don't care. What do we say? We say, get your BFN in the book. And people get offended. It's like, too bad. Get over it. Stop being so, soft in those things. Your BFN is your big fat nose. Get it in the book. If you're an audio person, get different audio translations. Just do it. Because that word will permeate into your system. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It will increase your faith. It'll enable you to move forward. It'll give you a better understanding of God. It'll give you more power in your prayers. Oh, my goodness. That's what's so important. That's what the Lord wants from you. That's what he wants from all of us. And we need to know the word and be a part of the word, because if there comes a time and the Lord delays, they're not going to let the Bible just keep floating out there the way it is, even though it's the number one printed of all books of all time, the only book that's been printed more times than there are humans. How about that? Bet you didn't think about that one before. No other book. Only the Bible. More printed Bibles than human beings. What? That's a fact. There's no, it's not even a dispute. It's nothing to discuss. Get that passion. Ask God for that passion. Or if you have that passion, use that passion. Or if you had that passion and you lost it, ask God to reignite it. It will not only change your prayer life, it will change you and the people around you. And if you're one of those people that is longing to see the power of God active, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And to those that believe, who believe in God, with God, nothing is impossible. Okay? All right. We didn't even ask a trivia question, did we? Nope. We didn't even ask one. You can't ping pong ball me. I got you on that one right
there. Yeah, I had it ready.
All right. All right. Well, that's just me going off on one very simple question. Thank you, Sergio. All right, folks, we're going to break here and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the David Spoon Experience.
Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David, it's Brother Stan.
Hey, Brother Stan, how are you, brother? We mentioned you a little bit earlier. I want people to keep on praying for you. How are you doing, and how's your wife?
Well, I want to answer the trivia question and give a praise report.
Oh, okay. So let's do the trivia question first. And there's a little leeway in this one statement because it has, like, three different really practical responses.
Yeah.
But let's just go with the ones on your heart. What kind of giver does God love? What kind of giver?
Cheerful or happy?
That is correct, Amundo! Cheerful, happy, generous, great-spirited. Any of those will work. But God just wants people that say, here it is, praise the Lord, I'm glad to give it. Not people that go, I got a five, I think I can squeeze that out. That's not what the Lord wants. That's not the right kind of offering for God. We don't do stuff like that. That's bad, right? We do it with the right heart and the right spirit, right?
That's right.
All right. Give me an update.
Update. Wife's out of hospital. Changed woman. High in spirit. High in praise. High in energy. The Lord is just a God, and I appreciate him. In the witness of all the radio audience and you, Brother Dave, and everybody at the radio station, my God answers prayer. Because it was heavy on my heart on how my God, how my wife would behave after being released from the hospital. She is in wonderful spirits, and it's just a great thing that God has done for me, because I had a lot of things weighing on me, you know, things that she used to do, paying the bills and all of that. That had to be on me, which I take that. You know, I get that. The vow said, better work, soon health, rich and poor. And so I'm proud of myself because I've done what I could to step in for my wife who was missing for those short weeks. And she's a sweetheart. She's changed. God has answered our prayer.
Hallelujah, brother.
Wow.
That is just a fantastic testimony. Everybody who's listening should recognize, and then we shoot this off to Gary right now, who's got his issue going on with his wife, Sheila. It's like, listen, God does stuff. Let's keep pushing until something happens. That's right.
Yes.
What a great testimony.
I'm going to hang up and listen. But Gary, now I'm praying for you and everybody else. The saints' prayers will be answered.
That's right.
God does answer prayer of his people, his children. I love y'all. Be blessed.
All right. God bless you, brother.